Okay. Hey, everyone. So yeah, I'm here to talk about the single hardest problem in all of open source, which is, as independent open source developers, if we're giving this stuff away, how do we make a living? How do we make money out of this? And they've given me, I think, 10 minutes, so we can solve that in 10 minutes. Let's get this all sorted out. My open source project, and I think the key thing here is that we need to tackle this problem two sides. You know, as maintainers of software, we need to figure out how to make this stuff work financially. But also as users of software, we're really invested in solving this problem too. Right? If you depend on open source software, you kind of need that thing to keep on working for you. You need that to be maintained long into the future. So I want to think about this from both sides of the problem. My open source software is a thing called Dataset. I've been working on this for about 6 years now. And it's actually a whole ecosystem of tools around this theme of helping people explore, analyze, and then publish their data. So Dataset itself is a Python web application that you can pour data into. You get data in a SQLite database, and then it can visualize it on maps and give people interfaces for exploring it. And crucially, it helps you publish it online. My inspiration here is WordPress, right? If you want to publish content, WordPress has mechanisms for doing that. I'm trying to build WordPress, but for data itself, for structured data, and for getting that online. And the idea for this actually came from work I used to do at the Guardian newspaper back in London, where we were publishing data-driven stories, and we wanted to put out the data behind those stories as well. And back then, we figured the easiest way to do that would be to have a blog. So we built the Guardian data blog, and we'd publish a story that was driven by data reporting, and then we'd put up the data in a Google spreadsheet. We'd publish Google spreadsheets with data that underlay our stories. I always felt like there should be a better way of doing that. There should be some kind of mechanism that was more open and powerful and flexible than just sticking things in a spreadsheet. So I worked on Dataset as a side project for a couple of years, and then I built a feature which really sort of blew the whole thing open. I added plugin support, again, inspired by WordPress. And now Dataset has over 128 plugins that let it do all sorts of additional things. And I've realized that in terms of open source contribution, plugins are absolutely the best model for this, because I can wake up in the morning and my software developed a new feature and it was released to the world and I didn't even have to review a pull request. It is so liberating to have this as a mechanism for extending software. I'd thoroughly recommend people look at plugin systems if you're feeling overwhelmed by all of the contributions that people might be trying to make. So I was building this originally as a side project, and I quickly realized, especially with the plugins mechanism, that this was going to be something I want to work on for the next 10, 20 years of my life. That's never happened to me before in my career. I'm very easily distracted. You don't get a project very often where you think, you know what, if I was working on this in 10 years' time, I'd still be excited about it. This project, it's absolutely that. So I've got two goals here. Firstly, I want to be able to support myself. I would like to continue to work on this for the next decade plus. But I also realized that working on this kind of thing solo is kind of lonely. I want a team. And this is super useful as a psychological trick for me, because I'm not a natural capitalist. You know, I'm very much a sort of open source engineer. Thinking in terms of paying for a team helps me elevate my financial goals and say, OK, I'm going to have to make some serious revenue from this thing if I'm going to achieve these dreams. So I've had a few sort of lucky, kind of unconventional ways of supporting this project so far. I started it as a side project, and then I heard about this program at Stanford University, a journalism fellowship program called JSK, where they pluck sort of 20 journalists from around the world and pay them to spend a year on campus at Stanford working on problems that are relevant to the world of journalism. It's beautifully vague sort of specification. And I applied saying, you know, I'm not actually a journalist, but I write tools for journalists. Is that going to count? And they decided it did. So I got paid to spend a year working on my open source projects, which, with hindsight, completely ruined me, because once you've got to spend a year just working on the things you want to work on, it's very difficult to accept somebody else stepping in and saying, OK, now you need to work on these other things instead. So since that fellowship ended, I've basically been living off savings and occasionally picking up bits of consulting work and trying to keep that ball rolling, because I'm enjoying myself so much. I had another lucky break earlier this year. I was accepted into the GitHub Accelerator program. This was a program from GitHub where they take, again, a dozen or so open source projects, and they pay the maintainers to work on them full time for 10 weeks while also focusing on solving this larger problem. How can we make this stuff financially sustainable? So we were talking to each other, but they also brought in invited speakers from projects that had made this stuff work. And the themes that started to emerge from there were kind of fascinating. It turns out the sponsorship thing, you can make it work. You can, if your project is widely enough used, you can have enough sponsorship to sustain it. But it's actually become something of a sort of marketing and sales job. The sponsorship management, like keeping your sponsors happy, becomes a very crucial part of making that work. There was the idea, an interesting idea that came up was, again, if your project is successful, somebody is going to make a bunch of money selling courses and tutorials and books about it, and you know your project better than anyone else, so maybe that person should be you. So there are projects that have actually made that work. Sort of the content side of it is what drives the revenue for the project. There's a classic solution, which is hosting it for people. And this WordPress have done this, and MongoDB have done this. It's a well-trodden path for open source, for building a business around an open source project. And then the last one was this enterprise licensing. You know, the free version has a bunch of features, but then you offer an enterprise licensed version with different licensing terms and like commercial support and maybe a few sort of enterprise-friendly features. And we heard about that one from Mike Perham from the Sidekick Ruby message queue project, who has had fantastic success with this. And he very specifically warned us. He said, whatever you do, don't do the hosted version. As a solo developer, you do not want to touch this, because now you're responsible for customer data. If something breaks, you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to fix it. It is by far the worst option. So I carefully considered all of these options, and I've decided to go for that hosted option. I'm doing the thing that Mike Perham said do not do under any circumstances. And I should justify that a little bit. A problem I'm having with my software is my initial audience are journalists. I want journalists to use this to help with their reporting. And if you tell a journalist, oh, it's easy, all you have to do is spin up a Linux server, pip install dataset, set up systemd, and then open it up to the internet, you've just lost 98% of your target audience there. So I feel like I'm getting sort of two things at once here. I'm getting a business model that has been demonstrated to work, and I'm also solving the problem that really my target audience need to click a button and start using that software. And this is where my sort of last unconventional form of support came from. I've been building this on a hosting platform called fly.io, which is absolutely perfect for this kind of project because they make it very easy to spin up secure containers for individual customers, so I can run copies of my software independently for everyone. And they've actually been sponsoring the project by funding a freelance developer to work with me on getting this stuff working, which they agreed to because we're working on open source, you know, we're working in public, and if we can get this working, it becomes a great case study for them in how you can solve these kinds of problems on top of their platform. So if you're a company looking to sponsor an open source project, paying for freelancers to work on things is an incredibly generous and very effective way of providing that support. But I wanted to bring it back to this idea of how can we tackle this problem from two directions. Like, what can we as users of open source be doing to help push money towards the projects that we care about? And I've got a proposal for you. I have a bit of a conspiracy that we can all get in on here. What you should be doing is paying maintainers to speak to your team. What I mean by this is that maintainers are very busy people. I don't have time to do sort of very hands-on consulting with people, but I can spare an hour out of my day to jump on a Zoom call. And I've done a few of these, and they're absolutely fantastic as a way of having a sort of time-boxed commitment where I can earn some money doing something genuinely useful, talking to people about what I've done. And it's a great trick for us because, as I sort of mentioned earlier, engineers aren't great. They're great at writing code. We're not great at asking for money. But with this, you don't need the engineers to ask. You can push money towards people. You can get in touch with the maintainers of the software you're using and say, hey, we'd love to know more about this. We will pay you to jump on the Zoom call with our team and answer questions and talk about what you're doing. So really, this is a sort of call to action. If you've got projects that you depend on and you want to support them, try this sort of sneaky backhand way of funneling money there. Every company has a training budget. Companies are very bad at just giving money away, but they're really good at hiring consultants. So if you can shape this as a consultancy agreement to just get one of these maintainers to do that sort of hour-long call with you, I think that could work really well. So yeah, please go ahead and work on this from the other side. Help us figure out this problem by finding ways to shovel money towards those projects that you depend on. Thank you very much.